You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Andrew Mount with you on this edition, looking ahead to the best of Wednesday's racing. There's action at Hereford, Lingfield, Newcastle and Wolverhampton on Wednesday. We're going to focus our attentions on the action on the polytrack and the all-weather in just a few moments. So looking at two races at Lingfield, one at Newcastle and one in the evening at Wolverhampton. We'll get to that shortly, but first things first, good afternoon, Mr. Mount.
Good afternoon, Alex. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. A happy new year to you. Yep. I know that we've already broadcasted together this year, but we're actually going to be going over some things on this podcast that we've already spoken about on air. But just
so we're repeating ourselves, is that what you're saying?
Basically, just a recap for people who weren't lucky enough to tune into to racing radio yesterday.
Would there be anybody in the world who's not heard what we already had to say?
That's not for me to say, Andrew. But we've had some fantastic jumps racing over the past fortnight, I suppose, the festive period. The thing that we're going to focus on just briefly is the ITV racing scenario. Obviously made their debut on New Year's Day at Cheltenham. Racing Post have been covering it quite a bit, and the general consensus is largely positive, I'd say. It's been mixed in terms of some people praising it, some people saying it'll take a bit of time, but very few people outrightly saying, not keen on this. And a lot of the things that they were doing have been pretty positively welcomed, I'd say, by the wider racing world.
Yes, indeed. And so, as you say, we touched on this yesterday when we were on air. And I like the retro feel, the way they sort of stripped it down to the bare bones. And it was three guys under umbrellas in the rain at Cheltenham talking about the racing. And the opening credits were really interesting as well, because they put a lot of the old ITV racing output in there, sort of Dickie Davis, Derek Thompson. I never knew he was on it, like a young Derek Thompson popped up. And yeah, it was just, you know, sort of simple, and it was all about the racing and the, you know, the people and the horses. And I thought they might go the whistles and bells route and try and sort of turn it into a sort of X Factor extravaganza presentation of racing, but it didn't happen like that. And yeah, generally I thought it was very good, and it was certainly an encouraging start.
It was quite nice and understated in a way, in the way that they went about their business. And another point that we mentioned yesterday was, I think you were saying that you don't have Sky Sports anymore.
Yeah.
And thus you're not as familiar with Ed Chamberlain as perhaps I was. But Ed Chamberlain's transition from football to racing seems, from my point of view, completely seamless. And you were saying, as someone who hasn't seen him talk about football much, equally came across very well to the racing public.
Yeah, I was really impressed with him. I couldn't have picked him out of a lineup before ITV's first racing show. And I thought his enthusiasm came across really well. And he's obviously a very talented presenter.
And he's gone from dealing with Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher to AP McCoy and a whole host of others.
Yeah, Luke Harvey, for example. Yeah, I thought Luke Harvey was in good form. I do like him. I enjoy those ATR Friday nights with Jason Weaver and Luke Harvey. I often sort of watch that in between races when I'm at Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, light-hearted, a bit of fun. It's ideal for a Friday night, really. So, yeah, I thought Luke Harvey fitted in well there.
And they seem to have got the balance just about right with regards to having people like Luke Harvey who are experienced and racing fans already know them, yet also a bit of something different. For example, we've got the Weather Girl is on there. We've got just little bits here and there of something a little bit different. Victoria Pendleton, of course, was on New Year's Day's show. It's trying to appeal, isn't it, to the wider public, as well as maintain the attention of the current racing public.
That's right, and there'll be a little bit of trial and error in the early stages, because they've got a lot of presenters involved, and they're just going to sort of try little bits and pieces, different combinations, I would imagine. And Richard Hoyles is a safe pair of hands, and is an excellent commentator to have on side. So yeah, I think it's going to work. And the viewing figures were out today as well, and compared very favourably with Channel 4's output on New Year's Day for the last 2 years.
It was slightly up, actually, wasn't it?
That's right.
So, yeah, fingers crossed ITV can continue to push televised racing to the wider public on an upward curve, if you like. It'll be interesting to see what happens there over the next few weeks and months. Right, we'll turn our attention to Wednesday's action then. As I said, there is a National Hunt meeting at Hereford, but we're going to focus our attentions on the all-weather meetings on Wednesday. We'll start with Lingfield's 2.15. It's a handicap over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. Tricky little race, this, because plenty of these have actually got some solid form to their name. There's plenty of course and distance winners in the lineup, and it's hard to find one standout performer, or at least a prolific one.
Yes, indeed. I mean, Starlit Cantata's got a good record here, but she tends to do her winning in sort of class 5 company. So, although she was only just touched off at Chelmsford last time, I think I'm going to look elsewhere for the winner. I'm going to go with the top weight here, Dutch Uncle for Ed Dunlop. Mm-hmm. The trainer was in winning form at Newcastle with Zamjar, his last runner. And Dutch Uncle really caught the eye here last time over course and distance in a similar race. Finishing to good effect from a wide draw to be third to Van Usen. The winner drawn stall in stall 1, the runner-up in stall 5. And from stall 10, I think Dutch Uncle did well to get so close that day. He's got a couple of wins under his belt, one on Topeter at Wolverhampton, the other one here at Lingfield on turf. But Polytrack holds no fears, and it's only his third course outing, so he's finished third in both of his others, one of those in a Class 2 race over a mile and a half, a trip he didn't stay. So I think this is his trip, this is his level, and I think Dutch Uncle, as long as he's ridden closer to the pace this time, and he has made the running in the past, then I think he could be hard to beat.
Dutch Uncle, then, who currently boasts a strike rate of 2 from 19, as I said, not the most prolific, but probably the classiest horse in this race on his day.
Yes, indeed. And that strike rate in the contest of today's race is probably about par for the course, really.
Yeah. OK, we'll move to Lingfield's 3.15 next. A handicap over a mile and a half. 11 runners are set to go to post here. And my eyes immediately drawn right to the very bottom of the handicap here, Andrew. And Snobbery for Roger Charlton and Richard Kingscote, who shed the maiden tag at Wolverhampton when a very short price favourite last time out. But by far the least exposed runner in this field, and by my calculations, therefore, the most interesting.
Yes, indeed. Has shown plenty of promise on debut at Kempton and a mile and a half maiden, finishing third. That was in August, and then didn't reappear until December when, landing short odds in that Wolverhampton maiden on the Topeter. His sire, Duke of Marmalade, has got a really good record at the likes of Wolverhampton and Newcastle. You'd make a profit backing them blind. So the return to Polytrack is a slight concern. But obviously after just 2 runs, he's going the right way, and should run his race. It's just he's probably going to be a short price without having seen any early prices at this stage. And I think I'm going to take him on with a number 3 Dolphin Village for the Jane Chapel Higham Yard. Now, this is a horse that was really frustrating at times because they kept running him at Kempton. And Kempton just wasn't his, hasn't been his track. Mm-hmm. He's run 1 or 2 good races on them. You look at his last 4 all-weather runs, 4th, 3rd, 3rd and 3rd, all at Kempton. But his total score there now is 0 from 10. But you look at his Lingfield record since joining Jane Chapel Higham in November 2015, 2 runs and 2 wins. And every time they run him at Kempton, I'm screaming at the TV, why aren't you running at Lingfield?
It does beg the question, why have they not been back there? 2 wins in December 2015 and then not even had a look since.
Yeah, that's right. You'd think that, that there's going to be plenty of races for him at a track he runs well. I actually tipped this one up on turf when I was on air at Newmarket on the 30th of July, because he was switching from Kempton to a different track, and he won in a field of 6 at odds of 8-1, having been double figures for much of the day. So it's a horse I'm always interested in when he switches from Kempton to another track, and he's doing that again here, and I think he could be the value each way.
He's also been ridden by Charlie Bennett and David Egan on the last 3 starts, and George Baker takes over on this occasion, which can only be a positive.
Definitely, that's a very interesting booking.
Right, we'll head north then, and back in time 10 minutes, and we'll talk about the Newcastle 305. It's a handicap over a mile. 7 runners set to go to post here, which is a shame because this race could have a nice each-way feel to it. And by that, I mean that with the 7 runners, it could be a little bit trappy, this one.
Yeah, looks a bit tricky, as you suggest. One horse I do want to be against is Jack Be Quick for David O'Mara. This one's had 41 lifetime starts, 5 wins. All those 5 wins came at Beverley. Mm. Now, he's generally, he has run one or two good races away from that venue. Finished 3rd at Wolverhampton and Lingfield in 2 of his last 3 starts. But I just think the percentage call is to oppose him when he races at tracks other than Beverley, and I'll be taking him on here. And I think the one to do it with could be Constantino for Richard Fahey. This one ran a good race here last time out, finishing 2nd in a field of 13 when 8-1, finding only Flaming Spear too good. That was his first run on the Topeka. And the interesting angle is that Fahey reaches for cheek pieces for the first time. Now, one of my favourite systems is backing Fahey runners blind when they wear cheek pieces for the first time. And since 2012, had you done so, you'd have won 21 of your 114 bets. That's an 18% strike rate. And made a profit of £45.25 to a £1 level stake. So it's usually a positive, and the application of the headgear ekes out improvement when Richard Fahey uses cheek pieces. So that's the selection here, Constantino.
Okay, certainly some interesting stats there around Fahey and his, I was going to say headgear use, but cheekpiece use in this instance. Constantino gets the nod.
You can say cheekpiece if you like. I'm trying to make that bring that word into the English language. You say blinkered when you're referring to first-time blinkers.
You do. Visored.
Visored, so why not cheekpieced when referring to first-time cheekpieces?
I can't find a logical reason why not. Hooded for the first time, you'd say that.
Exactly.
You know, I'm well and truly with you there. Earplugged for the first time,
earplugged.
Maybe.
That's a good one.
Right, Wolverhampton for the final race that we're going to focus on this podcast. A handicap over 7 furlongs coming up at 6:15. Another tricky one. Plenty arriving here in decent nick, which is pretty rare for some Wolverhampton races. All of those arriving in good nick are towards the top of the handicap, as you would expect. The likes of Rebel Lightning, Foramen, Cliff, all horses that have been running consistently, even if occasionally their attitude can be questioned a little.
That's right. Well, I've done the Racing Post spotlight for this particular race, so I've spent a lot of time going through this race and every single runner. And Cliff finally broke his duck on his penultimate start. That was his first win at the 31st attempt when he scored over course and distance by half a length. And it was back to normality at Newcastle last time when he came there full of running, looked sure to score, and then found Ad Vitam and Neck Too Good. So I think in my spot,
bit of a monkey, isn't he?
Yeah, I've basically put he's the first port of call for place pot punters.
Yep.
Because you'd imagine he's going to finish in the first three, but it's far more likely to be second or third than it is to be first. Mm-hmm. So it's a very difficult horse to price up because his chance of placing bears no relation to his chance of winning.
No, that is true. So where are we going to look in terms of the winner then?
I'm going to go for the top weight, Rebel Lightning, for the Richard Spencer-Adam Kirby combination. Now this one has won 2 of his 14 starts. And it's only had two runs when ridden by Kirby, second by a head at Lingfield in late November, and then second by a nose at Chelmsford last time out, both over 7 furlongs. So assuming that he copes with the Topeka, I think, and he basically he's had one run here previously and did win it. That was a maiden in November 2015, so the return to this surface shouldn't be a problem at all. And I think Rebel Lightning looks a more likely one than Cliff.
Mm. Well, you say that he's finished a close-up second the last twice. Is there an attitude problem with him, or has he just been a bit unlucky?
No, I don't think he was. It was on the snotter, as they say, at Chelmsford last time, and I was there and I watched the replay afterwards and I still couldn't believe he got beat. So I don't think it was necessarily an attitude problem, more a case of bad luck, really. So I wouldn't worry too much about that those narrow defeats on his last two starts.
Okay, Rebel Lightning then getting the nod for Andrew in Wolverhampton's 6:15. Thank you very much, Mr. Mount. A pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thank you, Alex.
As always. make sure you tune in to William Hill Racing Radio on Wednesday for all of the action. Hereford will be our high five meeting, of course, over jumps, so do take a look at the card there, and we'll be back to catch up with you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.